The fifth psalm, Psalm 5, is addressed to the chief musician upon Nehiloth, a psalm of David, and opens as follows. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. In the morning. Stressed twice in verse 3. Now why? Because the context of this whole psalm is very much in the light of the resurrection and the morning of the resurrection. When Christ awoke from sleep, when he awoke from death, when he rose up in the morning of the third day and entered the temple, rose up in the temple of his body, and all his people rose with him in the temple of his body as one body in Christ, him the head and they the body. As one body in Christ, they rose up in newness of life and worship the Lord their God. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. This is the context of the whole psalm. The people of God, as one people in the body of Christ, risen up in the temple, the body of Christ, to worship their God forevermore. Forevermore. Now Psalm 3 and Psalm 4, as we have seen, are divided into three stanzas, the third of which very much has the resurrection in view. But following on from these two psalms, which build up step by step to that day of resurrection, here we have Psalm 5, and it's very much in the light of the resurrection, the whole psalm. And it contrasts the man in Christ and the man Christ Jesus, who in the morning worships his God. It contrasts the righteous man, the living man, with those who are wicked. We see, as it were, the judgment of the world, the division between the goats and the sheep, the elect and the wicked. We see the divide between those who rise up with everlasting life in Christ to worship him in his temple forevermore, and those who have no faithfulness in their mouth, whose inward part is very wickedness, whose throat is an open sepulchre, who flatter with their tongue, those whom the Lord will destroy, those who will fall by their own counsels, those who, because of the multitude of their transgressions, have rebelled against Almighty God, and in the end will know what it is to enter everlasting darkness, death and destruction. There are two people in this world. The one will rise up in the morning of the resurrection in everlasting glory, and the other will be resurrected unto everlasting damnation. There is a resurrection to come. And whenever you die, there comes a day when all men, women and children will be resurrected bodily. And you will be resurrected either to everlasting glory or everlasting destruction. This psalm sets forth two people, but it sets them forth in the light of this resurrection. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? Where is your prayer directed? To whom is your voice addressed? Who will hear your voice? Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Who will hear your voice? And on what ground do you expect to be heard? When your last day comes upon you, and you pass from this world into the next, what will be your plea? To whom will you cry? And why will you be heard? Well, Christ's cry, and David's cry, and all God's people in Christ will cry unto the Lord. And they will say with the Lord Jesus, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. To whom do you pray? In whom is your hope? In whom do you glory? What do you know of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The psalm is addressed to the chief musician upon Nehiloth, the psalm of David. Again, like the last psalm, addressed to the chief musician, addressed to God, addressed to the Son of God, who leads his people forth in praise. But this psalm, unlike the last, is addressed upon Nehiloth. We saw Psalm 4 was addressed with six other psalms, seven in total, on Neginoth, which is stringed instruments. But Psalm 5 is the only psalm to be addressed to the chief musician upon Nehiloth. And Nehiloth, we understand, are, as it were, flutes, wind instruments. instruments bored through, to be played with the breath, wind instruments. And as wind instruments, they speak of life, the breath of life that's breathed into us and breathed out. They speak of that newness of life which comes in the resurrection. By nature, we are dead in trespasses and sins. But when Christ died for the sins of his people and put them away and rose up with that people on the third day, newness of life entered into them. The breath of the Spirit of God was breathed into that people as one people. And they, as it were, breathe out with him. And the breath of that people in unison is played through unto the chief musician upon Nehiloth, as this wonderful chorus of flutes breathes through and plays their anthem of joy and thanksgiving unto Almighty God. The breath echoes forth from the life within, Nehiloth. Now Nehiloth was played amongst the chorus of flutists in the temple. And it's in the temple that this people as one bring forth their praise unto God. A living people, alive forevermore, full of joy, full of praise, and full of wonder as they stand in awe and gaze upon the Lamb of God set in their midst, who laid down his life that they in him might be risen again. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen is their song forevermore. He is holy, holy, holy. He is alive forevermore. To the chief musician upon Nehiloth. Nehiloth. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning. This is the context of the whole psalm. The morning, the resurrection, the breath of life. Looking up unto a Saviour. Looking up unto the Lord on high. In the morning. The morning is when you awake. When you arise. When you look up. When the night has passed. And the darkness has gone. And the light of the sun shines forth. And the sun rises up into the heavens. In the morning, in the morning, it's when you cease to sleep, when you live, when you rise up on a new day full of life, full of vigour, full of light. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. This is the cry of David, who looked in the morning to that God he knew gave him life. It's the prayer of the saint, the child of God, who with every morning looks up on a new day into the heavens to the God in whom he trusts. But it's that prayer pictured by the morning, which centres his thought and mind upon a risen Saviour. Every morning that the Lord God grants us, every day that comes forth, every passing of the night and the rising up again of the sun is a daily reminder to us that Christ has died and risen again. And that in Christ we are risen forevermore. In Christ we are alive forevermore. In Christ we have everlasting eternal life. He is our righteousness. He is our hope. He is our glory forevermore. And in Christ he will hear us. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. But far more than it being a reminder to us, this is also an echo of the very words of Christ. When he'd been laid in the grave, when he'd been nailed to the tree, when all men had rejected him, when he'd entered into the darkness of death, and God laid upon him the sins of his people, and made him to be sin, and judged him, and slew him, and slaughtered his own son, when he passed through the valley of the darkness, when he passed through the valley of the shadow of death, when he went through death itself for his people, when he knew what it was to be in the darkness, in the depth of the night, and his father had turned his face, and his father struck him and pierced him, and struck him through with the sword of divine righteousness, when the fires of God's wrath had poured upon his head, and he'd suffered that eternity in the span of 3 hours in the darkness, that eternal wrath of God for all the sins of all his people throughout all time, when he'd waded through the darkness. He came on the third day, having died, having been laid in the grave. He came on the third day, very early in the morning, and he rose up. He rose up with newness of life, and his people rose with him, and his voice went forth, and it rose up into the heavens, and it ascended into glory, and it came into the ear of his Father. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, he cries. And such was his faith and his trust. He knew his Father would receive him, and he knew his Father would receive all his people in him. He'd conquered sin. He'd conquered death. He'd conquered hell. He'd brought in righteousness. He'd brought in everlasting life for all his people. Oh, the certainty, oh, the joy, oh, the glory. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Oh, this man, the second man, the last Adam, was without sin, without spot, without blemish. Death would never come upon him again. Having taken their sin, having taken death, having swallowed it up in victory, it would never come upon him. This morning was the beginning of a day that shall never end. And if you've entered into this morning, if you've risen up, O child of God, in this morning, then you will rise up in a day that shall never end, a day in which the sun will rise up to the heights and will never move. He will always be in the heavens. He will always shine forth. There will always be light, hope, and righteousness forevermore. There will never be one sorrow, one tear, one drop of iniquity. There will never be any sin which enters into that place in which the Son dwells and in which you dwell with him. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Are you looking up? Are you looking up by faith unto a Saviour who is risen, who is glorified, who is sat upon a throne, who is in the heights of the day? The wicked will not enter here. The wicked know nothing of this day. The wicked know nothing of this morning. The wicked's voice will never be heard in this place. As the psalmist goes on to say, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Oh, the contrast we see between this day, this morning, this temple, this house, and those who are outside. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Who are you amongst? Will your voice in Christ be heard in the morning? Or aren't you amongst those who have pleasure in wickedness? Are you one of those who are full of evil? Are you foolish? Will you stand in his sight or will you fall? Are you a worker of iniquity? Or in Christ, are you a worker of righteousness? David says, in Christ, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. By nature he could not. By nature David could not enter into this place. Only Christ could. Christ can say, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. But the psalmist David couldn't. He can only say this in Christ. Because by nature he's just as the wicked. He's full of wickedness. He's full of deceit. He was a fool. By nature, God must destroy him. But God destroyed David, as he destroyed Saul, as he destroyed the sin of all his people when they were crucified with their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died, God judged their sin. He took their wickedness, he took their evil, and he blotted it out. And because it was gone, because it was taken away, they could say with Christ, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I could not by nature, but because of Christ, I can and I will, and I will never be moved. In the morning, my voice shall be heard. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Just like you and just like I. We're rebels by nature. We're rebels. There's no faithfulness in our mouths. Our inward parts is very wickedness. Our throat is an open sepulchre. We flatter with our tongues. We come before God with all of our religion, all of our profession, claiming to love him when we love ourselves and we love the world, claiming to serve him when we serve our own glory, claiming to have done all these things for him when we've really done them to flatter ourselves and to bring glory unto our own name. Everything we do by nature, in the name of religion, in the name of Jesus Christ even, all that we do by nature is deceitful and wicked. There's no faithfulness in our mouths. We say we worship God. We say we love the Lord Jesus. We say we do this for his name, when it's all for self. That's what marks man out. He can be the most religious of men, and yet be full of deceit, full of rebellion. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. By our own wisdom we say this is so and that is so, and God will be pleased with me if I do this or say that. But our own counsels will come upon our heads. to our judgment. Because by nature we never bow down before God to own ourselves for what we are. We never say truthfully that our inward part is very wickedness. We never come to see ourselves as we truly are, that there's no good within us. That there's nothing but death within us. That there's no life. There's no faithfulness. That God is just to destroy us utterly. But the child of God, like David, when God speaks unto him through his gospel, is brought to see the utter depravity of his own heart. He's brought to see that there's nothing in him. There's nothing but death in him. And if he's to live, there must be another who should take away his sin. There must be another who should wash him clean. There must be another who should pay the price for his own sin. There must be another who should give him righteousness. There must be another who should give him life. And in the gospel he hears of Jesus Christ who's done all that. He hears of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. And in God, in Christ, in his Saviour, he can say, and only in him, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Oh, what a contrast we see here between man by nature in Adam, the wicked, and man as he is in Jesus Christ, redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb, brought to life again. He who has died and is risen again. He who has died and is risen again. What is it with you? Have you died? And in Christ, have you risen again? Or are you still very much alive in the flesh? Very much alive in the old man? Very much alive in this earth? Or by the gospel, can you truly say that you have died? And you have risen again. And Christ is your all. And as for you, you will come into his house with praise and thanksgiving. As for you, your voice will be heard by God on high in the morning. As we see that contrast between the wicked who remains in the grave and the righteous who bursts forth with everlasting life. The righteous who enters God's house, his temple. The righteous who walks in righteousness. Who rejoices and shouts with joy. Who trusts in God. The righteous who is favoured and compassed by a shield. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. As with a shield. Oh, what joy there is for those found in Christ. What joy there is for those who have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. What joy there is for those who know what it is to rise up in the morning of a new day, looking up unto Christ their Saviour. All is in Christ. All in Christ. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In the morning. In the morning. How we see these things throughout all the scriptures. That all the scriptures speak of Jesus Christ. that this gospel is found in every passage, in every chapter of this book. How often, if you read from the scriptures, from Genesis through to Revelation, how often will you read of the third day? How often will you read of the morning? How often will you read of the temple and the life within? This phrase, in the morning, is used so often and it's so pregnant with meaning. In the morning. Why does the psalmist often speak of rising up in the morning to seek his God? Because that's when the sun rises. That's when the darkness is past. That's when the day comes forth. That's when the light shines forth. It's because he lives in the light of the resurrection. In the morning. In Mark 16 verse 2 we read of that day when Christ came forth from the grave. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Not just the physical sun that brought forth the light of the morning in this world, but a picture of the rising of the Son of God in that morning, which lasts forever. In John 8 and verse 2, we read of in the morning in another context. In John 8, Jesus in his ministry goes to teach the people in the temple. But so often we read of Christ and his disciples when they go to the temple, it's in the morning. John 8 verse 2, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now is that not the very essence of this psalm? In the morning he calls unto his God. In the morning he comes unto the house, the temple of God. In the morning his people are gathered with him with joy. And in the morning he with his people teaches them the glory of his gospel. In the morning. In Acts and chapter 5 we read a wonderful account regarding the apostles. The disciples, the apostles, and how they were put into prison for preaching the gospel of Christ, and how they were brought forth from prison and went into the temple. Acts 5 verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now that's a wonderful passage in the light of the resurrection of Christ and the unity that his people have with their Saviour. On the surface, it's an account merely of the Acts of the Apostles, of the opposition they received from the high priest, from the Sadducees, from the Jews, from the treatment they had in being cast into prison, and from the hand of the Lord upon them, releasing them from prison and sending them forth to preach the gospel again. But in reality, there's far more to that account than that. We see their adversary, their opponents, as depicted by the high priest, and them that were with him. The sect of the Sadducees. We see this people's hatred of the apostles, of the children of God. We see what they did to them in putting them in the common prison. We see the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, who by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said unto his people, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And we see that the apostles, when they heard that, then entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now, what is all this? Well, firstly, the high priest and those that were with him is the adversary, the enemy of the apostles, the disciples, the children of God. He's their enemy, their adversary. He's a picture of Satan. He's a picture of Satan and all his people, all his legions of devils, all those whom he leads, and all the wicked who are led forth by Satan, who hate and are filled with indignation against Christ and his people. The high priest and the Sadducees and all that are with him here is seen as a picture of Satan and all those that do his bidding. They're filled with indignation. They hate Christ. They hate his people. They hate all those who are of the life. All those who are risen again. All those who are in Christ, born again of the Spirit. They hate them. And they seek to destroy them and to keep them in darkness. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Now, what are the sect of the Sadducees famous for? We read of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees were custodians of the law. They are, as it were, pictures of Satan taking the law as the accuser of the brethren and bringing the law as some kind of condemnation against God's people, who, despite his accusation, which is just and true, can turn around in Christ and say that Christ has taken my breach of the law and paid the penalty. There is therefore now no condemnation. The Pharisees were the custodians of the law. But the Sadducees were that group amongst the Jews who denied the resurrection. They denied the resurrection. Why are they singled out in this passage? Because this passage is to do with the resurrection. It's to do with these apostles shut by the Sadducees and the high priest in the common prison, who were then set forth, delivered from it, brought forth out of it by the angel of the Lord in the darkness, who brought them forth and said, go and stand and preach the words of this life. And as a consequence, early in the morning, they go into the temple with life and preach the gospel. Well, the Sadducees were that very sect that denied the resurrection. They said there is no resurrection. There's no resurrection of the just or of the damned. There's no resurrection. When we die, that's it. Which is the message of this day and age, isn't it? That when we die, that's it. That this world is all that there is. That there is no life after death. There is no judgment. There is no world to come. But the liars, like these liars then, would keep you in the common prison, would keep you in darkness, would keep you in the grave, would keep you in the grave as a sinner with all other sinners, and would deny you the hope of the gospel and deny you that true belief in the resurrection, that only belief and that only truth which will bring deliverance from your sin, deliverance from captivity and life forevermore. Then the high priest arose with all them that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, who denied the resurrection and were together filled with indignation. Because here was a people, the apostles, who said unto them, Jesus Christ, whom thou crucified, is risen again. He's alive forevermore, and we're alive and risen with him. And they hated them for saying that. And they'll hate you, child of God, for saying that. The very essence of the gospel, that Christ has died and taken away our sin that we might live and reign with him forevermore, is hated by the Sadducees, who deny the resurrection. Well, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison, which is a picture of that common prison of death by our sin, which all men, women and children are under by nature, are found within by nature. We're all children of wrath. We're all sinners. We're all born of Adam, whether we know Christ's salvation or not, whether we're washed by the blood of the Lamb or not. We're all by nature in a common prison. We're all bound fast by our sin, and there's no escape. And Satan, the adversary, and his people would keep you there. Science, falsely so called, would keep you there because it denies the life that there is after death. Denies the resurrection. Well, will you be kept in the common prison, bound by your sin? Or will you, like the apostles, have you, like the apostles, sat in the darkness of that prison? Seen, will you see the angel of the Lord by night opening the prison doors and bringing you forth? The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. Well, this angel is not just any angel. It's very much a picture of the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes as the word of God, with God's word, God's message, in which he said, go, stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. Christ came unto them. He opened the prison doors. He brought them forth. And he said, go, stand and speak. And that's the message of the word of this life to us. Go, stand and speak. Not go and do. Not go and work. Not go and make yourself approved by your own efforts under God. But go and stand. Stand in awe. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. Go and stand in the midst of this evil generation. Stand up and speak the words of this life. Declare that Christ is risen and that you are risen with him. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They entered into the temple. Mark 16:2, very early in the morning, first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they found Christ not there, because Christ was risen in the temple of his body. He was alive. John 8:2, and early in the morning, Christ came into the temple with his people, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And when they heard that, when they heard the voice of Christ, when they heard the voice of the angel of the Lord in the night, opening the prison doors and sending them forth, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. What did they teach? The gospel. What did they speak? That Christ is risen indeed. They stood firmly on free and sovereign grace. They stood firmly on his gospel. They stood firmly on the truth that he'd done everything for them. And they stood and spake that they were alive in him. When they heard that, They entered into the temple and taught. Has Christ come unto you in the darkness, in the night, in your common prison? Has he brought you forth? Has he said unto you, go, stand and speak all the words of this life to the people, my people? Has he? Have you seen this angel of the Lord? This angel who cries out unto his God, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In the morning. Elsewhere in the scriptures, Christ himself is referred to as the morning star, because he rose in the morning as the Son of God that brings forth light in the darkness. He rose. Revelation 22 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star. Earlier in chapter 2 of Revelation, it is said of the elect, of the righteous, of he who follows God, it is said by God that I will give him the morning star. I will give unto my people the morning star. I will give them Christ, who rose early in the morning and they rose early with him. I will give them the morning star. He's theirs. Is he yours? Is he yours? Are you one with him? Does God look upon you and say, you in Christ are a morning star? Do you rise in the morning in the darkness of this world, shining forth as a star who testifies of the morning star? In Job chapter 38 verse 7 it's written, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Oh, are you a morning star risen with the morning star, lighting up the dark sky, lighting it up with glory and shouting for joy with the Saviour? As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let the sons of God shout for joy. Let the morning stars sing together. Let them ever shout for joy, the psalmist says, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. He's their shield, he's their saviour. He comes to them in the night time and delivers them out of the prison. He opens the prison doors, he brings them forth. He says, go, stand and speak all the words of this life. And he watches over them and they in him as morning stars shine and declare to this world, Christ the Saviour is risen indeed. All my hope is in him, for he came unto me in prison when I was without strength, without hope, in darkness, dead, hopeless, and he set me free. Can you say that? Did he come to you? Has he set you free? Will you sing with the morning stars? Will you shout for joy? Will you cry up unto the Lord your God? My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord.